This is Radio Yorkshire's Friday football preview. We're going to start doing this every week as we look ahead at what's to come in the next few days. Of course, all our local sides back in action following the Capital One Cup this week. Going to say for the sides of West Yorkshire, it's not been the finest of weeks so far. Joined in studio by Joe Rawson. Joe, hello.
Hello.
Now, before we move to sides outside the Premier League, let's start with the top flight, which rather unusually, and it kind of feels bizarre, starts tonight. There's the first game of the week, Aston Villa against Man United. Now, at first, I thought that this was part of this new TV deal, you know, that we were hearing about, and it was like Friday night games.
Turns out
this one actually isn't, but it's kind of a good preview for how they'll work. And I know we all get used to stuff and all that kind of thing, but does it not feel weird to have Aston Villa versus Man United on a Friday night?
It does feel a little bit weird, but I don't think it's a bad idea, you know. Most people on a Friday night are sat in front of the TV, whereas I think Sunday daytime, especially the midday kickoffs. I mean, I play Sunday league, so I'm then quite busy and having dinner. So I'd rather watch a game Friday evening than Sunday dinner myself. But well, it's coming anyway, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, it is. It is coming. The thing is, right, I get a slightly different perspective from my dad, because my dad loves football and loves rugby league. And the usual thing is, on a Friday night, he basically joins Steve-O and Eddie, as it were, for a bit of rugby league. So my dad's kind of like, well, what do I do now? And then even he's kind of going, well, probably football. Which, so from the rugby point of view, that doesn't do great favours there, because obviously rugby was made a summer sport.
Huge game tonight as well.
Absolutely.
I can understand you being a bit torn of what to watch tonight.
If it was the Giants on the telly, I can tell you I'd be watching the rugby.
Yeah, and you got golf, USPGA on as well. So
yeah, as I say, if it was Giants on the telly, I'd be watching rugby.
Yeah, you've got some good sport tonight. But this is something that I'm sure the rugby league schedulers will take into account. And from what I understand, the majority of the games, even going into the new TV deal next year, will be played on a Monday night, and it's just the odd Monday night fixture will be moved to Friday. And I bet Sky will do that away from the rugby league, because they'll keep Friday night's rugby league, and then when the rugby league season's finished, maybe they may put
move
a few
more
football
to that.
Matches
so,
on, yeah.
So what about the actual football side tonight? The Man U got the 1-0 victory on Saturday against Spurs. It was an own goal. It wasn't exactly a thrilling game by all accounts. Villa, they actually, to be honest with you, when they signed Rudy Gusted, I wasn't expecting Rudy Gusted to score on his league debut. So the fact that they actually managed to get that win 1-0 over Bournemouth, that was good for them. But how do you see this tonight? I mean, I'm thinking this is Man United all the way, Joe.
I'm not totally confident it will be straightforward for Manchester United. I thought they were poor in that opening game against Tottenham. All right, I think Rooney would have put that ball in the back of the net if Kyle Walker hadn't had touched it.
If only he had as well, he was my fantasy football captain.
But I weren't that impressed with them. And I think the centre-half pairing of Blind and Smalling is susceptible. And I rate Rudy Gusted. Apparently he's not going to start tonight. He may have to settle for a place on the bench. But I really rate him. He's a big, powerful, old-fashioned centre-forward. And apologies for my...
So it's like working with Jim White on Sky Sports News.
So he's a big, old-fashioned centre-forward. And I think he could cause Daley Blind a few problems. If he goes and places himself on Blind, who isn't the tallest of players, and he's a good footballer, but I don't think he's the greatest defender either. For me, he's a good defensive midfielder, not a centre-half. He could cause him a few problems. And Villa, I think, even though they've lost a couple of their best players in Delph and Benteke, I've been impressed with the players that Tim Sherwood have managed to bring in. And so I don't think it will be straightforward. Manchester United should win it, though. Again, I've not been that impressed with them, though, going forward. From what I've seen in pre-season, which has only been spits and firsts, because they've been behind the pay-per-view wall of Man U TV, which, unless you're a Man U fan, you're not ever going to subscribe to, are you? But I do think they lack something going forward. And I actually thought Angel Di Maria would be perfect for the system they're playing. But obviously they've sold him, and until they replace him, if Pedro comes in, then I think they'll look more of a force. then yeah, we'll wait and see. But they should win tonight.
What about tomorrow's fixtures then? The first game of the day tomorrow is Southampton against Everton. Everton, of course, it's been all about the transfer of would John Stones go, and then would they be bringing anybody else in this week, which of course they then have yesterday with Mason Holgate. Not likely to be a player, I would imagine, who would start straight away. But how do you see that one going? Southampton under Koeman, they are going well. The signings that he makes always seems to do very well.
Well, Southampton, Newcastle, I watched that game last week, and because I managed to find it on a hooky channel. I watched that instead of the other game that was on for some reason. But I was really impressed with how Newcastle played, but Southampton always looked a threat. And while ever you've got Pella in your side, you're always going to be... you can create a goal out of nothing, let's say. You know, he is a bit like we've just said, that big, powerful striker. And he looked impressive, as if he will carry on the sort of form that he had last season. I like Mane as a player for Southampton. Shane Long, he always carries goals as well. And Everton, from what I saw the highlights, they got away with one, really. You know, not the greatest of starts. A 2-2 draw against Watford at Goodison Park. And I think that they gradually keep stepping backwards, Everton. Who have they signed in the window? No one really major as yet. John Stones, will he stay or will he go? That seems to be ongoing. And it just seems to be as if the club's going through a bit of unrest at the minute. Lukaku, I don't think it's quite worked out. When you spend £34 million on a player,
it's got to work. And you're a player like Everton,
got to be 30 goals a season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's not quite reached those highs as yet. And although he's a young player, there's a lot resting on his shoulders. And when you look at the players that Everton have bought in, I think they've bought Deulofeu in on a permanent.
Who I really like, yeah, £4.2 million. But
apart from that,
Tom Cleverley. Don't forget good old Tom.
Okay, Cleverley, who's steady, but
yeah, he's all right, but he's not a world beater.
Like for like of what they've already got there. I mean, he'll end up replacing Gareth Barry, who's starting to age a little bit. But yeah, I think Everton might struggle. You compare Cleverley to Romelu, who Southampton have bought in from Chelsea. And I know who I'd take.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Oriol Romelu any day of the week.
Yeah, to go to another of tomorrow's games, Sunderland. Sunderland have been these kind of... They've struggled these last few seasons. Then over the summer, they managed to secure the services of the manager for another 12 months. They've made one or two half-decent signings. You kind of think, well, Sunderland, all right. Now, this might be a season, not their season in the terms of they wouldn't get to Europe or anything like that, but this might actually be the year that Sunderland look at this and go, right, we will realistically finish mid-table. They go to Leicester last week, and quite frankly, again, based on what was in on the telly, rubbish.
Awful,
really
yeah.
poor, really yeah. bad.
And actually, Norwich were really unlucky. They probably should have got a point out of their defeat to Crystal Palace, because that goal that Cameron Jerome scored and then it got disallowed. For me, I can't work out why that got disallowed. Sunderland, yeah, they look at a team who are in disarray, really. They brought in Yunus Kabul to play centre-half. Who
it doesn't again strike you as that brilliant commanding Premier League defender.
There was a stage where he did look as if he could be the real deal, and then he sort of just lost it. And him alongside Sebastian Quartez was horrendous last week. There's no other word to describe it. They were all over the place. I've got a feeling that John O'Shea may come back into the side tomorrow just to add some experience, but again, he's been a man who's been out of form for the last season or so. The only saving grace Sunderland have is, while ever you've got Jermaine Defoe up front, you've always got a goal in you. You know, he showed that last week. But Norwich, like I say, from what I saw on the highlights on Match of the Day, they looked pretty raring to go. They've got lots of attacking options. I think Cameron Jerome is a guy who'll score goals, and I think he will cause Sunderland problems tomorrow.
On Sunday, 4 o'clock kick-off, final game of the Premier League weekend is Man City versus Chelsea. Now, I suspect the whole of the Premier League's medical staff will be a bit careful as to how they maybe react this weekend. But again, for Chelsea, Jose Mourinho seems to be the master of making the media talk about what he wants them to talk about. And we've had all this stuff with the medical staff at Chelsea this week. Nobody's really mentioned the fact that Chelsea were not brilliant against Swansea and that Swansea handled them very nicely at Stamford Bridge. They go into the game against City this weekend. And again, nobody's talking about what's going to happen here. And for me, I think that this is actually just clever Mourinho again.
Yeah, I said that on breakfast this morning, that it's taken away from the performance of his players. I don't think Chelsea played that well against Swansea. You know, they scraped a draw, in all honesty, but that's what champions do when they don't perform. They pick up points. And
But at home, no offence to Swansea, but at home against the Swansea, you've got to pick up 3 points.
Well, I don't know. You know, Swansea, I think, look a very good side. I think the two teams who can go to places, who are outside that top five or six and take points off of those top five or six teams, are Swansea and Stoke this season. When you look at the squads and the way they play football, I really like what Gary Monk has done at Swansea, and I think Mark Hughes has done a great job at Stoke with the players he's managed to bring in. So, I opening day as well, and you look at that and compare it to what Arsenal did, and obviously they lost against West Ham at home. You'd rather take a point. But City, of course, looked fantastic on Monday night against West Brom. Is it because they played West Brom, you know, who I think are still adapting to the way that Tony Pulis wants them to play, and that may take a bit of time? Yaya Toure may be struggling with an injury. He was obviously key to how they played on Monday and, you know, scored a couple of goals. He'll be key on Sunday to keep the Chelsea defence at offence at bay, and then give them some attacking threat as well. Manchester City, I wouldn't like to call it draw.
Okay, no, John, I'm with you on that. I think I agree about that. So this is the Friday football preview on Radio Yorkshire. We've already had a look at some of the games in the Premier League. Now joined in studio by Danny Parkinson and Tom Feeney. Gents, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So then, we're going to look at things outside the Premier League now. Tom, last night you were at the game for Leeds United. Obviously didn't go the way that Uwe Rosler would have wanted. Next, though, it's back to the league game against Reading on Sunday.
I mean, they come thick and fast, don't they? On Sunday, it's going to be a tough game. And obviously no Lewis Cook as well. He's out for 3 matches. And I think what you look at, you know, they've played 120 minutes, gone to penalties and lost. And it's that whole thing, that extra half an hour, it's them ramifications. Luke Murphy was brought on with 20 minutes to go. Uwe Rosler said he wanted him to get 20 minutes. He ended up playing 50 minutes. And it's little things like that. And Uwe Rosler actually also said Luke Murphy probably won't be fit enough to actually start the game on Sunday. You look at Stuart Dallas, he after 70 minutes, you could tell that he's not had the full pre-season, and you could tell 70 minutes, you could tell he was just blowing a little bit and he had to be subbed off. So I think for Leeds, you know, I'd be tempted to say that, you know, Uwe's going to have to make changes, but I think he's in a position where he's got such a small squad, he's probably going to have to try and stick with the same players. So there will be that one position in midfield. I've got a feeling Luke Murphy will be on the bench to come on in the second half. So it's interesting who will play in that central midfield from the start.
What about Reading? Of course, they're a team who have recent Premier League experience. But Tom, what do you think of Reading now? What kind of championship team are they? Are they a team who should get promoted this season? Are they a mid-table team? Or are they actually a team who need to watch themselves at the bottom?
It's such an interesting one with Reading, because Clark came in and, you know, he's a really good manager. He's someone, you know, very highly respected. And there were all these promises that they were going to spend big money. And they haven't really. You know, they've bought very wisely, it has to be said, getting the likes of Quinn from Hull City. You know, that's a very clever signing and astute signing. But, you know, I think some Reading fans, when this new owner came in, they expected it would be right. You know, how much did Fulham pay for Ross McCormack? 11 million. Right, we'll pay, you know, 15 million for this striker, 12 million for this. And it hasn't happened. They bought Saarin, who is someone with a lot of potential, but he was okay on Saturday, but he wasn't particularly brilliant. And, you know, I think it's that whole thing for Clark. He knows that he's got a team that have got very high expectations. The fans say, yes, we will be in the top 10. We will be pushing for the playoffs. But he knows last season, you know, they went into that game against Bradford City in the FA Cup. where they knew if results hadn't gone their way in certain other league games after that, they could have been relegated. So I think it is a case that he'll just be wanting the side to maybe have a mid-table season and then look to move on for next year.
Right, so moves on to another game in the Championship. The mighty Huddersfield Town take on Blackburn Rovers. It's another chance for Town to face Jordan Rhodes. And hearing yesterday the press conference from Chris Powell, he was talking about how the two sides have got very similar things that they want to come from this game.
The supporters at Blackburn, like ours, and the management and staff, like myself and mine, you're looking to set a challenge. You're looking for some mental toughness to show some resilience that you can.
That's the very short version of that clip. I think he was going to say go on to win as we carry on with that. We'll hear more from Chris Powell in full in a bit. First, though, Danny Parkinson, you were actually there chatting with the Town manager yesterday, and what do you sense the mood is for Town at the moment?
I think it's one of trying to get... this was a big phrase used yesterday of kicking on with the season, of really sort of jump-starting what Huddersfield now need to do, because they're going up against a Blackburn side who have more or less the exact same run of results as Huddersfield in these last two games. They both crashed out of the Capital One Cup and both lost their opening day of the season. Both of them... I think Blackburn, obviously, they're the ones that are looking at a lot more off-the-pitch issues. They've got a lot of problems that would affect them off the pitch. And obviously, this John Rhodes transfer deal that's constantly surrounding him, does that unsettle him? I think it's bound to in a certain way. And even yesterday, the vast majority of the press conference was taken up by journalists asking Chris Powell and Naki Wells and saying, oh, what do you think of him? Do you admire him? You know, would you like him in your squad type thing? So that's going to become essential of tomorrow. Is he going to be the difference in that game? But what's very interesting about Town is you're seeing Sean Scannell, who is, for me, 99%, you know, going to be in that squad at least tomorrow. Chris Powell expects a very big season from him. Naki Wells has done some great fitness over the summer. He's saying he's now at his best. And he was short of that 20 goal a season last season. He'll be hoping to do something quite similar then. So that's what I mean by a lot of not only the team, but a lot of individual players will be looking to sort of really make an impact tomorrow.
And Tom, with Town facing Jordan Rhodes again... As a Town fan, I can completely see the scenario where Town will be doing all right tomorrow, and then there he is, Jordan Rhodes will pop up and get a goal. It's a scenario that we've seen far too often, really, I suppose, as Town fans, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, when I look at Jordan Rhodes, I just think that is the scenario for any Championship side, basically, because against Wolves last week, you know, they were in a position where they weren't playing very well. Rhodes gets the ball 40 yards out, a really nice run and a fantastic shot, gets the goal. And, you know, he is their play, he is their difference maker, quite simply put. You know, I still can't believe that Rudy Gusted has left for £6 million while Jordan Rhodes is being valued at £14 million, because I felt that Gusted and Rhodes were equal to each other. They were both as vital. And, you know, I think Jordan Rhodes tomorrow really... You know, if he wants, he's been told, remember, if you want to move to the Premier League, we will cut the price down to 10 million. So, do you know what? He's now got very few opportunities to really impress a Premier League side. Mm. So, I think tomorrow you are going to get such a focused Jordan Rhodes. You're going to get a Jordan Rhodes that's going to say, I need to get a hat trick. I need to score the goals. Because he knows that the shop window is going to close very soon. And realistically, you know, I do think if it doesn't happen, I think he will join Middlesbrough on loan, actually, when the window closes. But realistically, if he wants that permanent move, he needs to impress, and he needs to impress tomorrow and the next games after, because, you know, he's openly said he wants to leave now. He was very disappointed they didn't accept Middlesbrough's offer. So he's in a position where there's that awkward thing where a player goes, oh, I'm thinking of leaving. Then it's that whole thing, the fans don't turn against you, but they're a little less supportive towards you. So I think tomorrow, you know, I've got a bad feeling for Huddersfield, I really do, and I do think Jordan Rhodes will get at least one, because he's got such a point to prove.
Do you know what I'm hoping for?
Go on.
I'm hoping that the weather is like this in Lancashire. They've been training today out in the rain, and Jordan Rhodes gets a bit of a sniffle, has a bit of a headache, you know, no injury, nothing like that. Just so he's not quite feeling at his absolute peak tomorrow. That's what I'm hoping for. Danny, as well, just while you were at the press conference yesterday, Naki Wells was chatting. Yeah, and he was sort of saying about the pronunciation. So go on.
Yeah, we all sort of went into this press conference, and the press said, everyone's been pronouncing his name wrong for years. And everyone went, what? Every journalist in there was like, this is unbelievable. Everyone's called him Naki Wells. I remember when he was at Bradford, it was Naki Wells. But it's Naki Wells.
Oh, right, Naki. So Naki.
Naki, yeah. And apparently everyone else knows this now. I didn't realise. Well, I was telling people, going, did you realise I'd be pronouncing it wrong? And people going, yeah. We kind of know, but everyone just kind of goes along with it. Mm. So, but yeah, I mean, he seemed in good spirits. He's really done some great fitness at the club, and he looks sharp. So, whether he'll get that 20 goals next this season, you know, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, with the whole Naki Wells thing, I was winding you up on Twitter last night, and then my phone's autocorrect decided to throw a right spanner in the works there, and you were thinking, what is Andy talking about? Elsewhere in the Championship then, this weekend for our local side, Sheffield Wednesday play Ipswich. You've got Rotherham against Nottingham Forest as well, and Hull take on Wolves on Sunday. So to League One, and Bradford play. Oh, hang on. Tom Feeney wants to drag us back to the Championship.
Hang on. Breaking news. Go David on. Nugent has joined Middlesbrough. That's just been confirmed. Okay. £4 million they've bought him from Leicester. So that's just confirmed. So, I mean, now, here we go. Does that mean that Middlesbrough are no longer interested in Jordan Rhodes? Because apparently it was one or the other. They've got the other. So, right, there you go. So I think Jordan Rhodes really will be focused now, because the only option he had of leaving has now gone out the window.
Yeah, will that upset a lot of Town fans? Because they're going to be bound to get a price of the Jordan Rhodes fee that's going to happen.
Well, exactly, yeah. Let's just hope that the rain is lashing down particularly hard in Lancashire today. So to League One, unless Tom, there's anything else you want to bring up from the Championship?
No, that's
fine.
It. That's
okay.
It.
So to League One, Bradford, Danny, it's not been the start to the season that Bantams fans would have wanted. The game against Swindon last week, it started so well, 1-0 for Bradford, and then it ended up being 4-1 Swindon, and they've also gone out of the Cup this week. So at home to Shrewsbury, how do you feel that the Bantams fans are kind of feeling ahead of that one?
I think there's some optimism, but I think that some of it has been a bit skewed. And I think that's kind of what Bradford needed, because a lot of fans are going into this season going, yeah, promotion's exactly what we're going to get, and, you know, it's going to be a fantastic season. I think it is still going to be a great season. But Phil Parkinson's last press conference just winding it back saying, hang on, you know, we've got to let these players gel. We've got a lot of young players in this squad. We're sort of trying some newer tactics with the likes of Mark Marshall and adding some pace into the squad, rather than the kind of tactics where it was a bit more rough and going on the old horrible pitch as it was last season. You know, they changed that up a bit now. Swindon last week, for me, was one of the oddest games I'll ever see, because, quite frankly, if Billy Clark had scored that penalty, for me, that would have been the game wrapped up. But the defence just fell apart. It was absolutely unbelievable. It was cataclysmic, the way that it just fell apart towards the end of that game. To go 4-1 down and then go out of the Cup to York the way they did. Yes, they went out on penalties, but still, it's not encouraging. But at the same time, 18,000 season ticket holders tomorrow. You're going to have even more, I think, just from the sheer fact that it's the first game of the season. And Bradford Bulls are obviously away at Wakefield, our live commentary here on Radio Yorkshire. And I think that crowd will really get behind the team, and I think that probably might spur them on. And it's against Shrewsbury as well. It's, you know, they're not a team I would expect to be up and around there. I think they'll be, you know, especially lower mid-table this time. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how we get on.
Elsewhere for Yorkshire sides in League One this weekend, Barnsley play Burton. There's also the game for Sheffield United against Chesterfield. Doncaster travel to Wigan on Sunday. Actually, lads, just to take us back to Barnsley for a second, their cup draw last night has seen them against Everton. Tom, there's the obvious recent Mason Holgate transfer, certain other transfer that's been kind of making stories this summer about John Stones.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Where
it
you
is.
Could have the two centre-backs of Everton be former Barnsley players, which...
Unless one of them has left already.
Well, we'll have to wait and see on that one, won't we?
Yeah, no, it should be a good one, that one. Right, let's take ourselves to League Two. Tom, York versus Hartlepool. York will be in fine mood after the beating of Bradford City.
Yeah, they will. I mean, the only thing I look at is you're facing Ronnie Moore's Hartlepool, who have started the season just perfectly. You know, really good home win, crowd on the side. Then they go to Fleetwood in the Capital One Cup, get the victory. I think the big thing is ex-Doncaster Rovers, Leeds United striker Billy Painter, he's been given the captain's armband, and you know what? He's just hit the ground running immediately. I mean, last season, it's surreal to think Carlisle, who was struggling for goals, had Billy Painter in the under-21 side. He had a big falling out with Keith Curl, and it resulted in him not being given a chance. Now, you know, he's already scored in both them games. I think for York, obviously, they suffered a really bad loss against Wickham last week. But I think the thing for them was is Wickham are going to be one of the favourites to go up automatically. So this is where their season starts now. I think they'd have looked at Wickham away and thought, right, let's just try and get something. If we don't, we don't. I think now this is a tough game, but I do have a feeling Hartlepool will get something out of it because they've got a striker in form and a manager who knows the league inside out.
Do you know what, Danny? What we need is, we need in the studio now, we need some sort of 60-second timer. We need to get this for next week because let's see if we can get Tom Feeney to speak about the weekend's non-league action locally. I haven't got a timer for this week, but I'm going to time you because we're pretty much getting to exactly 42. Okay. So you have 60 seconds to talk about non-league football starting now.
Right, so Guiseley have got their game against Kidderminster Harriers, and it's going to be a really tough game this for Guiseley. Kidderminster aside, who always seem to be mid-table in the league.
Gone.
Guiseley gained their first victory in the National League, a big win against Altrincham during midweek. For Halifax against Torquay, side with financial trouble. Halifax haven't won yet and they know that they've got players coming back from injury, so they'll be hoping they can get something out of that. Harrogate Town against Hensford Town. It's going to be a really good game, this, because both sides are going to be feeling that feel-good factor. Harrogate gaining that come-behind victory last time around. And
20 seconds to go.
Then you've got Bradford Park Avenue, and they're facing Nuneaton. They'll feel really hard done by. They've gained two draws, but they should really have won both games.
10 seconds left.
10 seconds left, and I'm trying to think who the last team is. That last team is Nuffer of the United. Solihull Moors. That's going to be a great game. Game of the day.
Boom. There we go. That was 1 minute. I had to keep kind of nudging you along, but that was 1 minute. We need to get some sort of... Danny, we need to sort some timer for him for next week. Can we make that happen?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
It's my first job as soon as I leave this studio.
Yes, sort us out a 60-second timer. Danny Parkinson and Tom Feeney, thank you very much. So, John Isherwood in studio with me. John, we've covered a lot of the Premier League so far. We've covered Football League. You will note, though, I haven't really mentioned how Liverpool are going to do this weekend.
Oh, really?
And I thought that I would leave that to you to enjoy.
Well, why not? I mean, Liverpool got big games, the first Monday night football of the season. It's the second one, rather, isn't it? Because obviously I have West Brom and
Man City
this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking it's
the first one that matters to you, though.
It's the biggest one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Liverpool and Bournemouth. It's basically Isherwood versus Harper, if we're honest. But it's going to be a big one, this one. It's going to be a pretty big game because Bournemouth, it's their first big trip, really, I think, to a huge Premier League ground. Whether that'll kind of swallow them whole a little bit, they didn't do very well in that first week, I don't really know. But it's going to be a fantastic game for the neutral, I expect, as well. I'm very much expecting a lot of action from Christian Benteke in this one. I think he's going to perform very well. And, you know, it's a learning process for Liverpool at the minute. They're trying to play to his strengths, but also keep the flow of the team that they've had in the past. And James Milner slotted in quite nicely. Nathaniel Klein looked quite steady. I thought Joe Gomez, for an 18-year-old, despite getting turned inside out a couple of times, you know, he did all right. And I was quite happy with his performance. And it was nice to see at the end as well, all the Liverpool lads actually going up to him and congratulating him and saying, yeah, well done on your first game, lad. You know, he did well there. Firmino looks all right when he came on. And Coutinho was great as well. So, you know, the team's looking decent. I think, everyone's going to expect a pretty decent score. I'm still predicting 3-0 on that one.
What about Bournemouth start? I'll be honest with you, I was disappointed with how they started against Villa. I was here last week on the Friday Football Preview talking with Darren and Sam and everybody and yourself in the studio and saying I think that Bournemouth will surprise a lot of people. I think they'll do very well. Maybe it was a case of first day nerves, but they didn't look like the team that I was expecting against Villa.
I'll tell you what, I don't rate Villa this season
at all.
I don't think they're going to do very well. They've just signed Adama Traore today, who's a cracking little talent from Barcelona. He's a very good player, but I just don't think they're going to get very far. I think Tim Sherwood flatters to deceive at times, and I think he's going to flatter to deceive again this season, and he's going to get found out. Aston Villa have this thing that a lot of Premier League clubs had, and I like to call it new manager syndrome, and Aston Villa have kind of had it more than most. They got it with David O'Leary, they got it with Martin O'Neill, they got it again with Paul Lambert when he came in, and now they've had it again with Tim Sherwood at the end of last season. But I think they've been probably found out a little bit. They've lost two very, very big players for them in Benteke and Delf. And Delf, of course, the captain. So, you rip the captain out of the side and it changes it. You rip your star striker.
Ron Vlaar as well,
remember. Ron Vlaar's gone, great defender, cracking defender.
He's not signed anywhere, has he? He is still a free agent.
No, I believe he's still free, actually. Yeah, I believe he's still free right now. But, yeah, Villa, I think, might struggle this season. And, they've got a fairly big game tonight, haven't they, against Manchester United. So, United had a... Yeah, in my opinion, a fairly poor start to their season. So, they've got to play well tonight, and that's the first Friday night football of the season, which is weird.
Yeah, it is bizarre, isn't it?
Fixture from next season, I believe, but there's some bizarre reason why it's on
tonight.
There's
stuff going on in Birmingham or something tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a process tomorrow, so there's a reason why it's tonight.
So to kind of go back to Liverpool for a sec, I saw what Coutinho did against Stoke last week, and I don't normally do this. I don't normally... go for a flair player who scores a flair goal and think, right, there's fantasy football.
But he does that every week.
but that's what I'm hoping for because, right, when we were starting fantasy football last week, you know what it's like, beginning of the season, everybody takes a risk maybe and goes to a player that you think, well, maybe you were a bit pants last season, but you should be all right this time. Mesut Ozil was the player that I went for with
Ozil.
That. Already, Mesut Ozil... bye-bye.
Watch me
regret this now, big style. But Philip Coutinho. Hello, Coutinho.
Yeah, I think you've done all right there because Pip Coutinho is going to do very well again this season. Especially, I think you'll notice that they're trying to play him behind the front man. They're going to play him in that number 10 position, which he does like to do. But when I think he pulls out onto that left-hand side and you'll have somebody else balancing out on the right-hand side as well, he loves, absolutely loves to receive that ball, cut in, rip a defender to shreds, and then rocket it into the top corner. He did it against City, he did it against Southampton, and he did it again against Stoke. He's going to continue to do that all season. The thing is, you can try and stop him, but you're not going to.
No, true. Jermaine Lenz, I've got to be honest, he was another risk that I had. Now he's new signing for Sunderland, and he was in danger of being subbed as well. But basically, I only made two subs this week. And if you're playing fantasy football as well, if you like us guys here on Radio Yorkshire, the fantasy.premierleague.com, this week you only get one transfer that you can make. So
actually
have already made two, so I'm already minus 4 points for the week.
Nightmare. I've not made any transfers. I've obviously got a suspension in my team because I've got Thibaut Courtois, but I didn't play him, which I was really happy with because obviously that would have cost me a lot of points. He was on my bench. I had Joe Hart in my goal. I've not made any transfers. I made a replacement in my team, but I've not made any transfers.
If you want to play along with us here at Radio Yorkshire, John, are we going to tweet out our fantasy team?
Yeah, it's on Twitter actually at the moment, so you'll be able to find the code that you're going to need on there. Just having a quick look at the league again, but we will tweet the code out one more time, and you can basically just sign up, get your team, go to join private league, and then just copy and paste this code in, and then you get counted. I believe if you get it in today, you might get into this week, but it might be next week when it accepts you. I don't know how it's going to work, but yeah, we've got a good number of people in there. We had a great team by the name of Who Ate All the Pie from Alex Humphries.
Yeah, I saw that. I like that.
He's currently third in the league right now, but yeah, we've got a good set of people in there, and we've got a couple of joined last week who are currently bottom of the league.
I want to ask a question. On a technicality, I would always have thought in this situation we wouldn't allow people to enter multiple teams into one league.
Oh, we're talking about that cheater Harper. We
are talking about Darren Harper off of Good Morning Yorkshire because he sat there top of the league with AFC Tatooine, who I wonder if he's a Star Wars fan. But if you then go down to 20th out of 23, you'll see Darren Harper, Chubb Tropicana.
Well,
Should we not like wait till we get to like the 10th week in and then say to him, and then hang on, say, right, no, I'm sorry, you can only have one team per person.
Well,
here's
the
one
thing,
of your
right?
teams that's higher in the league. See ya. Bye-bye, AFC Tatooine.
Well, this is the thing, man, because what you can do with this, if you're a little bit lazy and you just want to pick a team really fast, it can auto-complete. So you just hit auto-complete.
Is that what he's done? Oh, yeah, look at that team. It might be what he's done there.
AFC Tatooine is an auto-complete team.
You're kidding.
No, seriously, that is it. He's not changed that
so
one bit.
So a league topper after 1 week is an auto-complete, right?
But the problem is he's also got Edin Dzeko in there, who has now moved to Roma.
That would explain that.
He's got to think about this, and Darren Harper's like, I'm not playing fantasy football because I can't be bothered. Is he going to forget that Edin Dzeko exists? But then you look at Chubb Tropicana, where the drinks are free. This is a team he's picked of, well, what we like to have called duffers. These are the ones that we didn't think we should get any points.
Is this an auto pick, or has he actually
picked
this?
No, this is one that's been selected. So we're looking at the likes of Yunus Kabul, who actually got -1.
Yeah.
We've got Troy Deeney, Sado Bearino. We've got AU, who plays for West Ham. Gradel, Sermon, who I think he picked just because he sounded like Saruman. Housen.
Is this a Star Wars reference?
No, that's Lord of the Rings.
Oh. I'm got so Hoof, not into this stuff.
He's not with it. Micah Richards, who I think he's a star player. And Butland in goal, so he's got like a fairly dreadful team there. But this is the one where he just picked it because he could. The other one was just the autocomplete, who's currently top of the league. He'll get bored within a week, believe
me. He
won't change anything, and because of that, he's going to get spanked.
Yeah, if you want to be part of the league that does help to remove Darren Harper from the top, please feel free to join. Like John says, the code and everything, you can find it on our Twitter feed. And look out for The Lamb & Flag, a 90s sitcom reference, which is my team. If you know the sitcom reference for The Lamb & Flag, fair play to you.
Saw a real pub called The Lamb & Flag, by the way.
Right, but that's not what this is inspired by. This is inspired by 90s comedy based in the London borough of Hammersmith.
Of course.
I'll let you ponder on what that could be.
Friends.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, friends, absolutely.